celebrate my birthday, my 210th birthday. I'm kidding, obviously. No, I'm a little older than that. And then I'll be heading back to Los Angeles, where we have lots to do and lots to talk about when I get back. Lots of news stories that we've been working on and lots of other things that I think you're going to find fascinating in the next year or so. By the way, hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations, the backbone of Coast to Coast AM, of course, Streamlink, the Imaginative Worlds .com group. They also call themselves Explorers, but those of you who want to check them out, it's imaginativeworlds.com, the Fantastic Forum, Pirates, National Radio Club, good members there, Sorcery, IRC, Yahoo Chats, and so many more that keep cropping up all the time. I can't keep track of them all. So hello to all of you. So we'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to our phones. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Daniel from calling from San Antonio area.
Hey, Daniel. How are you?
Pretty good evening tonight.
Good.
I got a first-hand experience with the railroad tracks here in San Antonio.
Now, that is a great story down that way. Fill us in on what's been going on.
Well, supposedly, back in the 60s, I think it was, a train broke down on the railroad tracks. The bus driver told the kids to stay in the bus while she went to go get help. And as the kids were sitting there in a bus, a train came by and killed all the kids in the bus. And supposedly, all the street names are of kids' names in that little neighborhood that they built. Now, they say if you go out there and you park probably about 50 feet from the tracks, turn your car off, put it in neutral, they'll actually push your car over. I've done it 10 times in an ambulance, and ambulance is a pretty big, heavy vehicle.
Sure is.
And sure enough, every time, you get pushed up and over. And I've done it once on a motorcycle. Never again will I do it on a motorcycle because I kind of felt little hands pushing me on my back.
What's the specific area that this is called? Because I've read up on that legend in your area.
I'm trying to, I can't remember the street name right offhand, but the whole area is kind of a spooky area because it's down by one of the old missions. And that mission in that area has a little ghost story about itself, about a wolf, a dog-like human creature that they see running around the mission in the middle of the night. And as you're driving along, those roads, it's all tree covered, something like out of the Twilight Zone or what was that show? Tales from the Dark Side?
Yeah.
When it went and switched to the trees and the black and white. Kind of looks like something out of that, and you see all the markers for the mission. I mean, it's just that whole area is kind of, it puts you on pins and needles.
Is this near what is called the Bexar Railroad Tracks?
Yes, that's it. That's
where it is. Okay, yeah, this is an incredible, legendary, haunted spot out there that you're talking about. And it's a story, as you just echoed, of several school-age children who were killed, but their ghosts apparently linger on in that spot. That's got to be pretty darn eerie.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, like I said, in the ambulance, you know, you're thinking in the ambulance, you're like a couple tons, you ain't going to move, and sure enough, I mean, it just pushes you up because it goes up like a little hill and then down another hill. But as you're going towards it, it's kind of going uphill.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, they brought people out there to look at it, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty level. I mean, there is a little incline and everything. I mean, every Halloween, they got the cops out there because you got like 2 miles backed up of people sitting there trying to do it.
Do you really? That many people?
Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you, Halloween is the greatest time to get scared, to be sure. Hey, thanks for the call. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. My name is Karen. I'm calling from El Paso, Texas.
Hi, Karen.
Hello. I just had something weird that I just wanted to share with you. I'm now 40 years old, but when I was a small baby, my father was tragically killed in a large truck accident. And when I was about 13, I started seeing what I thought was him, like at night, you know, and it, of course, it scared me. But what was the weirdest part of that was I saw it many times, and it wasn't just in my own bedroom. It would be, I would be staying all night other places, my grandparents or my aunts or whatever, and I would see it then too. And I could only see it from like the waist up. It's like an eerie glow to it, you know. But every time I would see it in my bedroom late at night, the next morning I would see red drops on the carpet. And every time I saw it, there'd be more red dots on the carpet, and it was like it was leading up to the foot of my bed. And later on, a year or two later, one summer, I was laying in bed almost asleep one night, and I heard what sounded like a gunshot right by the head of my bed.
Oh, my.
It woke me up. And I didn't think anything about it. There were street lights coming through the window, uh-huh. So I could see, and there wasn't anybody there. But I heard it sounded like somebody dragging their feet through the shag carpet in the living room. So I thought my mother might have come to check on the air conditioning or whatever. And when I called out for her, she finally came out of the bedroom and answered me, which was on the other side of the living room. And throughout my teenage years, I saw quite frequently things of this nature. I would hear things. It doesn't happen so much anymore. I mostly have just weird dreams that end up coming true.
Well, what happened? Did you grow out of it?
I don't know if that's what it is or if it just transferred into dreams that would be a way of warning me something's going to happen. I don't know. But it was a very weird teenage years there, and I still think about it, and it still gives me the creeps.
Well, let me tell you something. You will never, ever forget it. Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, my name's John.
Hi, John. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Northern California.
All right.
And I just wanted to tell you, I think I might have Oscar right here.
You think you have Oscar. Oscar, that person who hasn't called us in a while.
Yeah, because I kept him away from your place.
What do you mean? How did you capture him?
Well, I bound him, you know.
You what do you mean? You bound him?
Bound him from going to your place and bothering you.
How did you do that?
Prayer.
Okay. Now, what makes you think you've got him?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I've got him. I can feel a very strong, powerful entity here.
Ever since you did this exercise?
Yeah, it was kind of like an exorcism. Yes. I sent him out, and now he's here.
Well, I got to tell you, we haven't heard from him since some events had occurred. So it's been, this will be, I think, week number 3.
And, another thing is, I have a gift for you.
Oh, you do?
I'd like to try something. I mean, there's no guarantee, but...
What are you going to do?
I'd like to manifest an object of some sort.
Where I am?
Yeah, in your studio somewhere.
You want to do right that there. Now? Right now you're going to
right
do it?
Right now.
Okay.
Before
now,
I get too tired.
Well, let me ask you. This is an object, obviously, that's not in here right now, right?
Something that's not on this planet right now, not of this technology.
All right. Where are you going to put this
Earth.
Thing? Where's it going to show up at?
I don't know exactly where, but somewhere where you'll see it.
Okay, so I don't have to go hunting around this cave for it.
Yeah. Maybe maybe some place you're not looking directly at, but you'll see it soon enough.
Okay, so do what you do, and then I'll look around during a break and see you.
Something benign, something positive.
Okay, go for it. Appreciate that, and I'll look around and see if there's something that I don't recognize. Let's go to our doppelganger hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is Eric in Austin, Texas, home of News Radio 590 KLBJ.
As a matter of fact, they tell me I'm going to be back out there in February of next year.
Oh, cool, man. I gotta be back to make sure that we meet up. Anyways, I didn't see my double, but my family and a close musician friend of mine has seen my double.
Well, based on what I'm beginning to read here, it's a good thing you haven't seen your double yet.
Yeah. Well, here's how the story goes. First of all, my Buffalo and I, who is a musician friend of mine, we've worked together off and on for about a couple of years, and we're starting up another project. And we were running errands downtown, and I ducked into this print shop that is helping me with some supplies for, you know, mass producing some CDs. And so I ducked into the shop, and he's out finding a parking space, and so he finds it off of 9th Street and Brazos, about a block away from where I was. And he comes walking down the street, and sure enough, he turns the corner, and he runs smack into a guy who looks just like me. Now, I've got a very distinctive walk, and, you know, people can recognize me right off the bat, especially because of the Outback-style hat that I wear, usually. And he's got the same hat, same build, same height, same everything, and same hat, and he goes, "Man, how did you do that?" And he looks at the quote-unquote me and realizes that the only difference is that the guy's wearing a black and white Hawaiian shirt. And so he comes back to me and he says, "Man, dude, you would not believe what happened to me." I said, "What?" He says, "I saw your double." And I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, this happened to my dad because he has a double in San Diego County who works as a sheriff's deputy. Okay. Now, fast forward about less than a week later, actually to yesterday, and my mom was dropping off a late birthday present. And sure enough, she comes up and she says, "Yeah, we saw your doppelganger yesterday delivering phone books around the neighborhood, and we thought it was you." I'm like,
incredible?
"Mom, no, that was not me. You have to have reliable transportation in order to do that sort of thing. I'm bound to the bus system right now."
I love it. And look, to make the intrigue even more, when I was in Hawaii a few months ago, I bought a black and white Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, man. Now you see, we got to meet then.
See, isn't that weird?
And then, you know, my dad also produces a photograph, and I swear I was looking at me, and it happens to be my grandfather.
That's strange.
Yeah.
That is strange.
I was a spitting image of him during the age that it was taken at.
Yeah, I had to give a speech when I was out there, and everybody looked at me and said, "Hey, come on, you can't wear a suit or anything like that. You got to wear a Hawaiian shirt."
Uh-huh.
So off to some store I went, and, you know, I wasn't going to get one of these Don Ho shirts. And, you know, and so I got the most sedate one I could find, but it is. It's black and white, and it looks pretty neat, by the way.
I'll be darned.
How about the small world, isn't it?
It's getting smaller by the minute, it seems.
Just make sure you stay away from your doppelganger.
Well, I don't know. He and I may cause a little trouble together, you know.
Well,
as mischievous as I am, you know.
Well, you never know. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Art.
Welcome.
Art and Kermit.
Oh, Art. Hi, Art. When I hear the name Art, I'm so, oh, no, it's you. What did I do wrong?
I wanted to know when you're going to do a show on television.
We're working on a couple things that I still can't say much about yet, but hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we'll have some pretty fascinating news for everybody.
Well, I believe we're being watched through our televisions.
Oh, really?
Yes. If you look at the CBS logo in the right-hand corner, it sure looks like an eye.
It is an eye. It always has been an eye.
Yeah, right. And then if you watch, I don't know if you've seen the movie Enemy of the State.
Yes.
And if, for a moment, they focus on the license plate of the car.
Yes.
And the license plate reads NTV.
Mm-hmm.
4P1. Well, the first letter of the alphabet is A, so it would be NTV for pay.
I worked in television a long time ago, and we didn't have the capabilities of seeing you, but that was always a running joke with people, that Johnny Carson, God rest his soul, had the ability to see people in their homes watching his show, and you would always be able to look at the back of feet, because a lot of people watched that Tonight Show that way. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi. Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, this is Eric from out in Kentucky.
Hello, Eric. What's on your mind tonight?
I was wanting to talk to you about when I was real young, I had a dream that I didn't really understand. I was pretty young, and we had just moved into this new house. And I never really felt comfortable in the upstairs part of the house. It, you know, it was really spooky up there, I guess, and I never really felt comfortable. But I remember several times being woken up with the bed shaking, and it would wake me up. I don't know if it was a dream or anything, but it seemed very real.
A lot of people call in about shaking beds. And, you know, we try to rule out any kind of problems with you physically. And once we get that taken care of, then it becomes an even stranger story. How much did this bed shake?
Well, it would shake. I mean, it would shake so much that, like, it would shake me on the bed. And I can remember that I used to think it was maybe my brother or something playing a joke on me. So I was really scared, and I would just lay down and close my eyes because I didn't want to look up. I was scared that if there was something down there, you know, I didn't want to see it.
Well,
so
I don't blame you.
I would just lay there.
You ever think maybe there was some kind of earthquake or some kind of earth-moving thing going on?
No, I don't think so, because it was just the bed. But the real strange part was that this happened, you know, this happened several times, probably 5 or 6 times. And one night I had a dream that I saw I was back behind our house, and I'd seen a bird which had a little ball of light right in front of it, and it was floating up behind us. And it turned into a little girl while it was floating in the air, and it came down towards me, and I think it was an angel. To this day, I swear, I think it was an angel. And it kind of entered inside of me, and it was just the weirdest feeling ever. I mean, I just felt so alive and felt like, you know, I was really excited and I was really happy and all this. And from that moment on, that never happened. I never woke up to my bed shaking, and from that moment on, I've never had any nightmares or any bad dreams. Everything that's ever happened in my dreams have been great dreams.
Ever since that, that's strange.
I was wondering if anyone had ever, you know, if you've ever heard of anybody having anything like that in dreams.
Well, we've heard about, of course, the shaking of the bed, like I just said, but I have not heard of anybody seeing a little bird turning into a small angel. And welcome back to Open Lines, and let us go right back to the phones. Wildcard Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Bob from Metzger's Field, Indiana, and I'd
hey,
like to,
Bob.
First of all, wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you and your staff for doing a fantastic job.
Thanks again. I appreciate that. For all of us, we appreciate that.
I'd like to share with you sort of a scary, humorous story from about 35 years ago. I'm dating myself, I know, but...
well, at least you're able to walk away laughing about it. That's good. Go ahead.
We used to, myself and a couple of buddies, used to like to drive to different graveyards and see what we could see. And on this particular night, we had a flashlight. We didn't have the million candle power lights back then, but we had a flashlight, and we thought we saw something run from one tombstone to another. And so, of course, we ran back to the car, jumped in the car, went to start it, and it wouldn't start. somebody realized pretty quickly that sometimes you had to shake the battery cables in this old clunker. So they got out, shook the battery cables, the car started. we took off down this road that had trees on both sides that overgrew the whole road. And I was in the back seat. I thought that something jumped out of the trees onto the windshield of the car. And I screamed like a woman. And what it was we didn't get the hood fastened tight after we shook the battery cables and closed it. We were in such a hurry to get out of there. It was a crazy night, George. And once again, happy birthday, and thanks to you and your staff. And Bob said that from Indianapolis. You take care.
You got it. Thanks a lot. Of course, after everyone got out and looked at the car, you had little footprints on top of the roof. How about that? That's a great way to finish the story. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there. And I guess they're gone. Let's go to our east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Ted out by Atkinson, Nebraska.
Hey, Ted. What's on your mind?
Well, I sent you some pictures here a while back. I don't know if you got them or if you had seen them before. They're the shots of the spaceship Columbia being blown up, and they're shots from the outer space showing.
You know, I saw those, several people, Ted, and thanks for sending them to me, sent them along. To me, they looked like, and I had Lex take a look at it, our webmaster. We both agree that it looks like some high animation, that somebody that somebody made those.
Okay, well, I was kind of curious about that, but where I got it from was a pretty reliable source. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with what Lex said. He okay. thinks they were created. But I tell you what, they were pretty startling pictures.
Yes, they were. Okay, well, thanks a lot, George.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program. Next up, okay. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on, let's see how that works, and the magic of computers. Hello there, how are you?
Very good, George. How are you doing? I'm
good.
Lucas from Houston.
Lucas.
Yeah, I got a story to tell you. I was in Iraq last year, April, and this is a story. I guess you could call it intuition. I don't know. I think it's intuition. I was always the kind of guy who was kind of goofy, you know, trying to keep people cheered up, you know, even though I was miserable over there. And we got off guard duty after about 3-4 days in Fallujah, and I just woke up. I felt miserable. I felt horrible. I knew something was going to happen. You know, I just knew the poop was going to hit the fan. And we had a patrol go out that morning. And they got, after they were out for about 30 minutes, they got ambushed. They got shot up pretty bad. They ended up bringing them back. My platoon ended up going out to find them and try to... you know, I thought that was over. You know, I thought that's what was happening. We went out to go find the people who ambushed them. And, you know, while we were on the patrol, I just started getting this feeling again. And, you know, I was just miserable about it. And we got ambushed, and we got ambushed pretty bad while we were falling back. I ended up getting shot in both my legs.
Oh, my. Are you doing better?
Yeah. It's a little over a year ago now. I've healed up pretty well from it. But, you know, I don't understand how it works, but I know that something was going to happen. And, you know, people could tell a difference in me that, you know, I wasn't my usual cheery self. They knew something was up with me and that I saw something. And, you know, I guess it's an idea that you need to follow your intuition. We know something's going to go wrong, follow it, but you know, of course, I was in the military and I had to follow orders instead. So.
Well, that's true, but at least you were a little more aware of what was going on, Lucas. And you're right, we all have this ability. Some of it kicks in high gear for other people, some others they just can't read it yet. But you become more tuned as you do that. So now, once you're wounded, are you out of the military now? Is that what happens?
Well, I was scheduled to get out last November anyway, so yeah, I'm out of the military now. I'm collecting disability. I'm working down here now. You know, but
Well, I guess this Memorial Day, Luke, is pretty special for you this time, huh?
It is. My squad leader died over there, and, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking of maybe giving his wife a call or something.
Sure.
I'm not sure about that. But
hey, Lucas, what's the mood of everybody, at least when you were there a year ago? I would assume it was pretty upbeat at that time, huh?
A lot of everyone was trying to act like they were upbeat. You know, they were trying to act cheery, but everyone was miserable. Of course, nobody wants to be over there. You know what I mean? That's understandable. And, you know, it's more like, you know, people trying to put on a happy face when things are the worst, you know?
Did you feel as if you had a clear-cut mission there, that there was a reason for you to be there? Or did you just feel like you were plopped down there and nobody really knew why?
When I went there the first time in 2003, I felt like we were there for an actual reason. When we went back, and I was there during the fall of Baghdad, I was in Al-Qud a little bit farther south. But the second time we went over, the time I got shot, it just didn't make sense why we were doing it. I mean, the people that we were around, they didn't even want us there. They wanted the old government back, you know what I mean? I really feel that if...
They wanted Saddam Hussein back?
I guess they thought that was better than us. You know, that's the vibe I got from it. And it just made me wonder that if a country isn't going to... I don't want to get into the politics.
I know. It's a lot. I'm just glad you got back safe. And you know what? I've now heard of two Lucases in my life. You're one of them. The other, you're probably, how old are you now?
24.
Okay, you're probably too young. You don't remember the television show called The Rifleman?
Actually, I remember watching that on TV Land when I was younger.
Yeah, all right. His first name was Lucas, and I bet you can't remember his last name.
No, I do not.
All right, I'll tell you it later. I'm going to have people send me a fast blast on that. Lucas, have a great memorial, and of course, we always know what we have to do on this Memorial Weekend. It's to remember, and I'm sure you're going to remember. Appreciate your calling.
All right, thank you.
Okay. By the way, I'm looking around the old cave here, and that person said he was going to project something here. I don't see anything yet. I mean, everything I see here, I've put here. So I don't see anything particularly unusual. And he said he was going to put it within my distance because I'm not going to wander all over this place while I'm on the program, whatever it may be. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name's Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I love your show.
Thanks, Carol. Where are you?
Upstate New York. I listen on StreamLink, but we have WNBF carries your show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, kind of nervous here.
Why?
Well, first time caller.
Just little old me, just in sitting back in the cave.
Okay.
With bats flapping on my head.
Okay, let's see. About over 5 years ago, my sister told me the story that her and her boyfriend were down by the river, Susquehanna River.
Uh-huh.
And I'm calling from Binghamton. And she was telling me that they saw this bird, and she was going on and on about it, saying, it looked prehistoric. It looked prehistoric. And, like, she's just freaking out about it, telling me about it. And then, like, the last year or so, I've been going to call on your show because you guys were talking about people seeing these pterodactyls.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
These thunderbirds, these huge creatures.
Well, that's what I put these two together, and it's like my sister, like maybe 5 years ago, was telling me that they saw this bird, and I thought, well, it was just a heron, you know, or something like that.
How big did they describe it?
She said it was huge. I remember her putting her arms out and just saying it was huge.
And did she say it looked more like a big bird or more of a dinosaur?
I just clearly remember her saying it looked prehistoric, that it looked like a bird, and it looked prehistoric. And it just, I just thought it was interesting. I thought I'd call in and let the listeners know.
How'd you like to have one of those come down and swoop down on you and take you away?
I know. It's like I'd like to go down. I should go down the river more often and just, you know, see if I could take a picture of one or something.
Would you go up to it?
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
Well, you had a caller. Somebody called in maybe a year ago, and they said they lived in New York State, and they were telling about they were crossing the line to go into Maine or someplace, and they saw this thing flying.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I think they're around.
Or it was Mothman.
I don't know.
Do you know what Mothman is?
Oh, yeah. I'm a coastie. I know all that stuff.
You're a coastie.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, thanks. You take
thanks.
Care of yourself.
Take care.
I like that. I'm a coastie. Maybe we'll have T-shirts made up. I'm a coastie. Doppelganger line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great. You'll have to give me a moment. I never expected I'd actually get through on your show. It just goes to show that keep dialing and it pays off.
Eventually it does.
Yes, it does. My name's Micah. I'm calling from Myrtle Beach. I'm listening to you on WRNN 99.5.
Hello, Micah.
Here in the Carolinas.
And, interesting name. Oh, it's an old-time name, isn't it?
It is, but it's not from this area. I was born and raised in this area. It just they just got that letterhead probably the last 5 years, I want to say.
Well, now, this is weird synchronicity. Listen to this. First of all, I just talked to the fellow whose name was Lucas.
And let me guess. You're going to call me the sheriff?
That's right. I mean, Micah was the name of the sheriff in The Rifleman.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep, this is eerie coincidence. I was thinking that as I was listening to it, and I was wondering how you would pun it.
But, okay, go ahead.
George, I have a doppelganger story, I believe, but first I'd like to take this chance to, I have not heard this mentioned on Coast to Coast AM, but you had a guest on a few years ago, I believe it might have been Major Ed Daines, but you asked him for some predictions for the coming year, especially that spring. In his exact words, there will be an assassin running around our nation's capital. Do you remember that?
It might have been Dames interviewed by Art, or it could have been Sean David Morton. It was one of the two.
Yeah, okay, but also, coincidentally enough, the D.C. sniper that spring.
Right.
I'd never heard mention on that, and I just found that astounding when I put two and two together. But anyways, my story, it goes back to summer 84. I was about 9 years old. I woke up early one morning just out of the blue, probably just after 4 a.m., and it was a Saturday morning. I had my eyes open and I was looking at the foot of my bed, and all of a sudden I saw a little blurry object like a hand come up and wave and go back down. And I did the natural reflex. I rubbed my eyes physically and make sure that I didn't have anything in them, and I saw it again. And at that time I leapt up and I looked and I saw my cousin, whom I won't name, sitting cross-legged and rocking back and forth, wearing the same little sailor outfit she had been wearing the day before. Now, my cousin and I were quite close. We were born 364 days apart. We always had our birthdays together. And she was staying a block down the road at the time. Well, I looked at her, and it wouldn't have been unusual for her to come to the home that early in the morning because my grandfather would have dropped her off before work. Well, I looked at her, and I laid back down in relief, and I said, oh, it's you. I said, well, there's some Kool-Aid in the fridge, and wake me up when the cartoons come on. So I remember Saturday morning. And then I looked at the clock, and it burned in my memory the time, 4:26 a.m. I jumped back up. She was still there. I looked at her and said, what are you doing here so early? Granddaddy hadn't even got up for work yet. And George, this is the only thing in my entire life I've ever seen that I cannot explain. She slowly faded away over a 30-second period.
Did she turn to look at you or anything like that?
She was looking at me the whole time, just like she was looking at my bed from the foot of it, but you had to be sitting up to kind of see her. And George, even though that was my cousin, we had no, you know, bad ties or anything. We were great friends, and coincidentally enough, I never mentioned it to her. I was so freaked out. I ran in the bathroom, and I sat there in the corner for probably 2 hours till my stepfather came in and woke me up, and came in, and he was a very stern man. If he caught me out of my room at night, you know, I was in trouble. It was flash. But he looked at me, and he saw fear. And that's the only time he ever looked at me and did not give a stern response. He was very compassionate because he knew I had seen something, but he did not ask.
He probably figured no matter what he did as punishment, it was not going to be nearly as bad as what you went through.
Exactly. And like I say, I've searched. I used to have the motto, I'd love to explore the unexplored and explain the unexplained, but that's the only thing in my life that I can say for a fact I saw, I cannot explain.
I love it.
But I heard on one of your previous programs, probably a few months ago, somebody made a comment, and that's what made me remember it. I hadn't remembered it in almost 10 years, George, one of your guests made the comment, seeing the ghost of a living person, and it all came flooding back.
It's a trigger. Micah, thanks for the call.